open in a word of prayer. And now, Father, as we stand here this morning, this is a difficult topic within the Scriptures. It is not an easy thing to sit here and listen to your son say certain things about your church. And so, Father, with fear and reverence, we come before you with this text in our hands. And we ask for your help. Give us understanding. Give us clarity of thought. And may your Spirit work in us and change our lives. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen. The text that you just read as a church, when we think, generally speaking, of the second coming of Christ, when we ponder the hope of heaven, generally speaking, we get these happy feelings of wonderful bliss. That there is an eternity to be spent with the eternal God in heaven. As the psalmist puts it, in thy presence there is fullness of joy forevermore. But what the Apostle Paul says to the church of Thessalonica here in this text I don't see anything pleasant in it. There's very little joy that's happening here. It says in verse 3, the people say, peace and safety. And sudden destruction comes upon them as pain upon a woman with a child. And any mother who is here knows exactly what that means. Christ is coming. We do not know the time. And the descriptions that Scripture uses are descriptions of pain and suffering and judgment. And so in verse 6 here, Paul commands that the true believers in Christ are to be sober and watch for his return. That is to say that belief in the imminent return of Christ has extremely practical implications. As he says in 1 John chapter 3, look in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure.
亲爱的弟兄们，我们现在是神的儿女，将来如何还会显明？但我们知道主若显现，我们必要像他，因为必得见他的真体。 凡向他有这指望的，就洁净自己，像他洁净一样。
So John, the same author of the book of Revelation,
使徒约翰同样的他写了启示录。
Is telling the people, the Christians of the church,
他在告诉人们教会里面的基督徒。
That those who are looking closely for Christ's return,
那些在等候盼望耶稣基督再来的。
Who are considering what it would be like for Christ to walk in this church right now. It causes them to look inward and to purge from their lives things that would be displeasing to God. But what happens when you have a church that is not ready for the coming of Christ?
但是对一个教会，如果他还没有准备好迎接基督再来的，会是什么样的？
And here then we come to Revelation chapter 3.
这就是我们看到的启示录第三章这里的。
With the church at Sardis.
撒迪教会。
We've seen the various churches so far, beginning with the church of Ephesus.
我们已经看到好几个教会，第一个看到的是以弗所教会。
And this was a church that, by all outward appearances, was doing everything right. But they had replaced the love for Jesus Christ with a love for something else. The love for the ministry itself.The church of Smyrna was a suffering church. And the command to Smyrna was that the church was to stand strong. The church of Pergamum was a church that was compromising both doctrinal belief and practical living.
信仰上面的信在妥协，同时在他们实际的生活当中也在妥协。
And they still had a chance to purge out the church.
但是他们仍然有这样一个机会，就是洁净这个教会自己。
The church of Thyatira,
推亚推拉教会
again was a compromising church.
也是一个妥协的教会。
But they had tolerated sin for too long.
但是他们容忍罪在他们中间太长的时间。
And Christ was coming.Quickly to judge the church. And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ says about the church of Sardis. I will read Revelation chapter 3, verses 1-6. And unto the angel in the church of Sardis write,These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that livest and art dead. Be watchful, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent.If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour will I come upon thee. Thou hast a few names in Sardis, which hath not defiled the garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in a white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear,Let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches.
你要写信给撒迪教会的使者说，那有神的七灵和七星的说，我知道你的行为，按明你是活的，其实是死的。你要警醒，坚固那剩下正要衰微的，因我见你的行为在我神面前没有一样是完全的，所以要回想你是怎样领受，怎样听见的，又要遵守。若不警醒，我必临到你那里，如同贼一样。我几时临到，你也绝不能知道。然而撒迪，你还有几名 是未曾污秽自己衣服的，他们要穿白衣与我同行，因为他们是配得过的。凡得胜的必这样穿白衣，我也必不从生命册上涂抹他的名。岂要在我父面前和我父众使者面前认他的名？圣灵向众教会所说的话，凡有耳的就应当听。
We begin in verse 1 with a description of Christ. And in both descriptions here, it says he has the seven spirits and the seven stars. Seven within the scriptures is the number of perfection, of completeness. And the seven spirits here is a reference to the Holy Spirit. We know from the book of John. We won't turn here at the moment. That Christ said when he is leaving, he will not leave the disciples, the apostles, alone. So in place of himself, he sends the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit is going to do, it's going to take all of those who are true believers and baptize them into the body of Christ. So that there is really one universal church. And it's Christ is the agent who is the one who is sending the Spirit of God. The seven stars here. We know back from Revelation chapter 1. If you look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, Christ has in his right hand the seven stars. And down in verse 20, he explains that the seven stars are the messengers of the seven churches. These are the pastors of the churches. And so Christ is sovereign and ruling and in control over the leadership of the church. And then he gives a description that's possibly the most horrible thing that anyone could ever say about a church. And remember, this is Christ himself speaking about the church. He says, I know your works, and you have a name that lives. By all outward appearances, this is a church that's doing everything exactly right. There is no mention here of them following after the practices of Balaam or Jezebel. There is no mention here about a church that's filled with idolatry and fornication. There is no mention here about a church that's wholly given over to some kind of outward immorality. Unlike many of the other churches. This church had a sterling reputation. If you were to ask the people in Sardis, what do you think about the Christians? They would say, they are good people. They help the community. They feed the poor. They're reverent. They look different. They act different. They appear to be different people. They must be a really live, God-loving church. And Christ says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that livest and art dead. By all appearances, this was a church that had a living reputation. And Christ turns the reputation exactly upside down. And he strips off of this facade off of all of the people in the church. And he strips away all of the church programs and all of the good things that the church has done. And he points to the heart of the church. And he says that the church in itself is dead. And what we're going to see as we walk through this, that as a whole, this is a church where most people are simply playing a game and do not actually believe the gospel. And so Christ gives a warning in chapter 2 and
3.
He says in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain and are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. And this constant conception of watching is going to constantly pop up throughout Paul's epistles, throughout the Epistle of John, and here in the book of Revelation. That the true believers are supposed to be watching and waiting earnestly for the return of Christ. Now, let me tell you what this doesn't mean. This doesn't mean that every morning you take your lawn chair, you go outside, you put it on the front lawn, and you sit there and you look up at heaven and wait for Christ to return. There have been some in church history who have claimed that that's what you're supposed to do. This is not a proclamation that you're supposed to gather yourself together in some kind of communal group and hide out until Christ returns. What this means is that you're supposed to live your life in a manner that if Christ were to return today, he would say, well done. He says, strengthen the things that remain. And so apparently not everything in this church was being done incorrectly. But he says that they are about to die. He then gives three commands in verse 3. He says, remember hold fast,
然后要持守,
and repent.
悔改.
And the concept of remembering here. He says, remember what you have received and what you have heard. This is what we would call language of tradition. It's something that they have received from someone else and they're supposed to transmit it to the next generation. And throughout the New Testament, the core of the Christian tradition is the gospel. And apparently, as a church, they had forgotten the very core of the Christian message. They had lost sight of the gospel itself. This tradition is most clearly stated in Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, I will read verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
格林多前书15章第1节，他说：“弟兄们，我如今把先前所传给你们的福音，告诉你们知道，这福音你们也领受了，又靠着站立得住，并且你们若不是突然相信，能以持守我所传给你们的。”
就必因着福音得救。我当日所领受的，就传给你们的。第一就是基督照圣经所说，为我们的罪死了，而且埋葬了，又照圣经所说，第三天复活了。And concerning this gospel, this passage, it tells us about the transmission of the gospel in verse 1.
这里讲到了福音的它的一个领受。
It's something that Paul preached. And the church received. And it's the position on which the church is to stand. It says the power of the gospel in verse 2. It says, by which also ye are saved. The message of the gospel in verses 3 and 4. The message, first of all, it's history. That Christ that died, He was buried, and He rose again. Second of all, the message is explanation. That Christ died for our sins. That in His death on a cross, He paid an actual and real price for your sins. So that there is no judgment from God for your sins upon you. Christ took the judgment upon Himself. And so, if we return to Revelation chapter 3, the church was to remember that which they had received and that which they had heard.
教会他说你们要回想你们是怎样领受怎样听见。
They had lost focus of the Christian gospel.
他们看没有看到了，失去了对福音本身的关注。
The gospel was no longer the center of their church and their church ministry.
福音已经不再是他们教会的中心，也不再是他们教会事工的中心。
And so he says to remember. And then he says to hold fast. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that they had taken their stand on the gospel. Christ says that they are to hold fast the gospel. They are to guard the gospel. And then he says they need to repent. And in a moment, we'll get to exactly what that means for this church. And the warning to the church is in verse
3.
If the church does not watch, if their view of the return of Christ does not change how they live their lives, then Christ's coming for them will not be a joyful event. It will be an event of terror. I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. If a thief broke into your house in the middle of the night and he intended to do harm to you and your family, is that a pleasant thought and a pleasant event? Nobody wants to be the one in that position. And Christ says to the church, if you do not watch, if you do not repent, you will be in that position. And he's going to come when they least expect him to. And so in verse 4, he says that you have a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And we know from the description in verse 5 that the overcomer are those who have truly believed in the gospel. And those are the ones who are clothed in white. Because the church had lost their focus on the gospel. It's safe to say that within the church, there were only few people who were actually believers. And so the church to them had become some kind of glorified social club. Some charity in a pagan Roman city. And so there were not many believers in this church. In fact, there were few. So his statement in verse 3, to remember, to hold fast, and to repent, the people in this church had heard the gospel. They knew what the Bible had said. Their Christianity, though, was only an inch deep.
But
There were few people in the church who were actually real believers. It was simply a game to them. And it was not real. And so he says, to him that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. As a church within the times of the New Testament, the people in this church all would have made a profession of faith. They all would have been followed the Lord in believers' baptism. We know that that is the practice of the New Testament. But that's not at all what brings a person, what causes a person to be saved, to have their sins forgiven and for them to have eternal life. There can be a church that's full of people who have professed faith in Jesus Christ and who have been baptized, and deep down in the heart of hearts, most of them can be lost because they have not held fast to the gospel. They never had life to begin with. So this is the Church of Sardis. Now let's take what Christ has said. And ask about our own church. If Christ were to come in and walk through those doors, and if he were to stand up here and begin to speak, he who sees the hearts, he who knows the thoughts in the minds, would it be pleasant things that he would speak? If you were to walk into your home and he would walk in to see how you spent your time, what recreational activities that you do, your how you do your work ethics at work, how you act in the church, the body of Christ, the websites that you go to, young people, the video games that you play, the TV shows that you watch, the movies that you attend, the music that you listen to. If Christ were to stand there and point and speak his opinion on those things, what would he say? Would you say that on the outside you have a reputation in a good and godly church? But that on the inside you're actually dead? If Christ came today and he spoke and stood in this pulpit, Would he implore the people in the church to become believers because they really weren't? Christ is coming. And yes, for those who are believers, it is the glorious hope. There's nothing better in life that we look forward to than the coming of Christ. But if you're sitting here this morning, this is between you and God. Only you and God really know whether you're a believer or not. And Christ were to come back today, for you, is that a terrifying event? Are you frightened by that thought because you know the judgment of God? Or does that thought bring you joy? If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, and something in your life is holding you back, your own will, your own desires, your pride, you're trying to do it yourself, your intellect, your reasoning, submit yourself to the gospel. Place your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. And that which was a holy terror to you will be ultimately the blessed hope. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, the words that your Son have spoken to his church are harsh. But as the one who sees and understands the hearts and mind, they are true. And we thank you, Father, for the fact that we do have hope. That there is the gospel. That we can have life. And that we can have an eternity spent with you. And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here, be they a church member, be they someone here who is baptized, be they someone who is here who is seeking after you somehow or another, that your Holy Spirit would begin a work in their heart, and you would draw them to yourself, that they would understand and believe the true gospel of your Son. And Father, may this church not be a church that has a reputation, but inside is rottenness. But give your church the strength and the ability to stand strong upon the gospel. that this church could be a beacon of hope and of light. In a world that's destined for judgment and darkness. We pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.